I'd like to, okay, welcome to the Village Board meeting for Monday, June 24th. It's about 7:25. If I can get Sarah to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee Cargi?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Hennick?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
President Edusi?
Here. If I can ask you all please to stand and to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Parking, is that just a general, Diane? Is that just general parking or something specific? Okay, no worries. I just didn't know if it was a part of anything here.
Okay.
Oh, here. Okay, very good. We'll take that. So then we've got Lee, we can either wait for the readout on the Economic Development Commission, or we can ask you to just do it now. It's up to you. You want to do it right now, or do you want to wait until we get to 7, wherever it is? 7 at 9A. You're a busy man. Okay. And then you have Mike, a zoning variance, which is one of these, right? Mike, in the back? Is that one of your zoning variances on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. Can we wait till we get to that? Okay. All right, so I'll ask Lee speak.
Hello, everyone. I'm the new chairman of the Economic Development Council, and I wanted to take a moment just to provide an update on our deliberations from our meeting we had. I'll share some general comments. We had additional comments in executive session that aren't appropriate to share publicly. But in general, we thought that the opportunity at 11 Ashland was important because it fell into the strategic plan of being the zone. In our opinion, it's that parcel on Madison Street is the closest opportunity we have to generate significant tax revenue for the village. There were some concerns over paying more than appraised value on the property expressed by some of the trustees, which we all acknowledged. We wanted to make sure that the trustees also considered the value of the parcel as it relates to the income we're going to generate over 20 years. And given that the amount at issue, I understand, isn't very significant in terms of percentage, not having that parcel would severely change the type of development that could go in and the taxes that would be generated off that parcel. So without passing any specific resolution, we thought it was important that we communicate to the board that you had our consent unanimously of those present to pursue closing this deal if it were possible to get done. That said, we also felt that it was important when looking at the appraisal that the appraiser that is generating the value on the parcel is doing it based on its current use. And so because it's a residential property, it may only appraise so much as a residence, but the value of a parcel near a corner lot where our TIF district is something that all of you should consider as well. So if before you were resistant on paying over appraised value, we'd encourage you to at least consider the tax impact of that. And there's also a risk that if we don't wrap up the deal soon, that later on we'll end up wanting to get it, or a developer will want it, and it will cost us much more down the road. So those were the general statements, and we thought that it was important to note too that some of the parcels that were acquired significantly below market value. And so as we look at these TIF districts, because now we have the long-term strategic plan, that we should be looking at opportunities to buy on the cheap. And sometimes we're going to pay probably a little bit more than we want to, but if it's important to get the project done, and if the tax revenue is going to offset that, we encourage you to consider that in making your votes. So that was, I think that was the gist of the general comments. Eric, do you think I missed anything from there? And if you have further questions, you're welcome to talk to me one-on-one. Anyone here, happy to talk to people. So okay. That's all.
Thanks, Lee. I think important to get the Economic Development Commission perspective. Okay, Diane?
Just as easy if I read to you what I wrote, because I think I have everything I need on here. My husband and I live at 302 Yale, and we've lived there for 40 years. Having never had a key to the front door, because the people ahead of us didn't have a key, we have always used the back door. Friends, neighbors, everyone who comes uses the back door. We are now unable to park on the side of our house, which is the back door entrance, because there is a sign that says no parking anytime. Both my husband and I are handicapped. I need a cane to move, and I have a very bad back. So I can only carry small items at a time. So if I'm forced to park in the front of my house, I have it's a large lot. I have to walk all the way around the house, up the sidewalk, and to the back door. I carry typically one bag at a time. So if I've gone to the grocery store and they pack the bags very light for me, I may have 10 bags. So that means 10 trips from the front of my house. I can't use the front door because it's a very wide porch, and we put a railing on one side, but even if we had one on the other side, you can't extend your arms enough to use it. And we do have railings in the house, so it's not a problem going in the back door. But my husband is far more handicapped than I am, and it's very difficult to get him out of the house and into the car. So it would just, for him to have to come around the house or for me to pull up, it would be a handicap for us. The two-hour parking across the street does not necessarily, and this is again on Linden, it's two-hour parking on the other side of Linden. It's not particularly helpful for me because of my back. If I'm making trips out, I may take my husband to the doctor and then come back home and have to lay down for a little bit before I go out to do groceries, and it can exceed the two-hour time limit. So that's a problem for me also. So what I'm asking is if you can give me some kind of a variance, like a handicap parking or something at our side of the house, so that we can park there, so that I can park there, he doesn't drive, so that I can park there anytime during the day and not have to make that journey, which I can't do.
Okay. Yep, Diane, in fact, it's on our consent agenda, and I'm going to guess that's going to be approved unanimously. So thank you for speaking. That's up next on our agenda, so we'll be approving it shortly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, we should have it up. We'll push to get that the signage put up by the end of the week. Yep.
Okay. So Trustee Hennick said, yeah, don't give her a ticket. Forget it.
We've already been aware of that.
I mean, that's what you said. Behave over there. You will, won't you, Chief? Okay. You're all taken care of, Diane. You got the chief behind you now. Mike, why don't we wait until we get to your zoning? Which one are you? The first one is you're the right. You're the second one. Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. So let's go around and do some elected official comments. I guess I'd ask Trustee O'Connell to go first, if you don't mind.
No. Really not much.
How's it going with you?
I'm just going to kind of, I'm going to pass tonight.
Okay,
so thank
all
you.
Right. No worries.
That does happen
from time
to
time.
I do want to acknowledge we have a couple of village officials from Maywood with us tonight. Mike Rogers, who's a trustee, and I'm sorry, I don't recall your name.
Trustee Isaiah Brandon.
Isaiah Brandon,
I'm Miguel Jones. Mike Rogers, we kind of favor each other, but he's a prior trustee.
Mike's behind you.
Oh, he's like, oh, wow.
I'm sorry. Hey, Mike snuck in.
Oh, sorry. Oh, there's three of
you. There are three of you. Okay, well, thank you. Welcome to our village board meeting. Hopefully they are run as well as all of yours, our board meetings. Okay, thank you, Bob. Trustee Hennick?
Okay, just a couple things. Good evening to everybody. I did want to share that I attended the River Forest Civic Association's last meeting regarding TARP, the Tunnel and Reservoir Plan. Mm. The representative from the Metropolitan Water, he did a very nice job presenting, maybe 15, 20 people, a lot of good questions. He gave the history of the whole plan, filled us in on where we are currently and the fact that the McCook Reservoir, the first phase just recently went online, and there's still phase two that will be going online. Talked about how they maintain the reservoirs and all that kind of good information. So that was a good meeting, informative. The other thing I wanted to share on sort of a personal note, but I wanted to let people know that we've officially decided our two charities for Lemonade.
Oh, good.
So the decision was made. We are going to raise funds this year for Hepzibah Children's Association and a program called Beat the Streets, both doing great things. So we're excited about that. So watch for more details. And of course, it's September 11th, if you didn't know.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Good advertising.
Yep.
I have a couple things to mention. First, I saw that the Wounded Warrior Project came through River Forest this past week. And most of you know that Wounded Warrior is a nonprofit organization that works to honor and empower wounded service members returning home with a multitude of medical issues. There was a comment online, someone asked, why didn't we know about this beforehand? They would have wanted to go out, and I feel the same way. So the next time, I guess we participated in it for a few years, let's put it on the calendar, River Forest happening. So
it was Facebook.
I saw the Facebook post, but people were asking, they wanted to see it in advance on the calendar. Yeah, because they would have gone out to see it.
I think it was.
On River Forest happening?
It was definitely on the calendar.
Oh, well, there was a comment that it wasn't.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, where's our John?
Stick to it.
John said a debrief over here.
Okay. The question came up is, why didn't we have the Wounded Warriors on our calendar? I think it was.
Is it on our website?
I can find out.
I can bring it right up.
Yeah, next year. A couple of our residents, Mike and Phil Carmody, were identified and honored this week as Chicago's very own on WGN for their work with Opportunity Knox and Life Shop and the pickle business that they, all of which they have been running as programs to help those people with disabilities. So that's pretty cool. The Sustainability Commission is promoting a plastic-free July program, partially in honor of Sally Stovall, a local environmentalist who we lost suddenly last month. If you're interested in joining in, you can go online, sign up, and you can get tips and support for how to go plastic-free in July. And we're also promoting a reusable bag day on July 9th. And as part of that, the village is going to be having a meeting with local businesses from 10 to 11:30 on July 9th, and the trustees are invited to attend here in this room, talking with businesses about how they can reduce the use of plastic in River Forest, including plastic bags, plastic straws, foam, and plastic to-go containers. And then finally, Trustee Bachner and I and Trustee Brandon all attended a newly elected official meeting by the West Suburban Training Institute. And so now we are dangerous on FOIA and Open Meetings Act.
Awesome. It is on our website.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I want to thank the village staff for this, streaming the meetings. I think that's terrific, and hopefully we'll be able to continue that. Also, On June the 3rd, I attended a meeting with the Metropolitan Planning Council relating to aging, and the focus of the meeting was on transportation and the challenges of transportation that are presented for our seniors. This is a small portion of a study that they're doing regarding all seniors, and it's going to include people with disabilities. So when that report comes out, I'll be happy to share it with all of you. Also on June the 27th, we're going to continue with our meeting with the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus on Subcommittee on Aging. Since the last meeting was so crowded in this room, it's actually going to be moved over to Concordia to allow for better accommodations in terms of space. The presentation is going to be from AARP Illinois on the resources they have for age-friendly communities through their network. So again, I'll report on that next month.
Yep, thank you.
Nothing, just thanks to Eric, John, and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources presentation. I thought it was very effective. And I know it's a problem, and there isn't a short-term solution, and I think we just got to wrap our arms around that as a community. I mean, we'll do what we can, but with bureaucracy, everything takes a lot of time, especially when you're shooting deer in a populated area. So I think the plan that Eric and John have put together is a good one, and it's the right way to do it. You know, maybe we could have done it earlier, but I think it's become more acute this year.
Right.
And so, as I said, I it's unfortunate that we can't snap our fingers and make the deer go away, but we can't, and so this is the approach I think is the only palatable way to do it.
Okay. Erica?
Hi, everybody. I want to say happy Pride Month. June is Pride Month. I did see a posting that another village, and I can't remember which one it was, but they did for the first time this year put up a pride flag for the month. So I was thinking, and this is, I haven't brought this up to you guys yet, but maybe next year we could do the same. Would love to see that. And I did, about a week ago, attend a Westside Cannabis Town Hall meeting that Commissioner Johnson, it had originally been canceled from the original date, so they rescheduled it. Senator Don Harmon was there. The senator who put together the bill, Cassidy, was there, and it was a very good briefing about it. I think we're probably going to talk a little bit about it today, but there's definitely a timetable there for us to do some work. So, and they are all very good resources for us,
great,
too, and are great, happy to help with anything.
Super. And we'll use them. Thank you, Erica. I don't think so. It's out of order. Unless we get consensus around the table. Go ahead.
So we had the opportunity, not last Friday night, but the Friday night before, to attend a dinner where our own Eric Palm was recognized by the West Central Municipal Conference. And it was a very nice dinner. And Eric received a prestigious award. Jack Wagner.
Williams.
Here, why don't I just do it?
Go ahead.
It was on my
notes,
and
I did.
It was on my list.
At least you got Eric's name right.
Yeah, and you got Jack right. Yeah, so let me just finish it. Yes, our very own Eric Palm was awarded the Jack Williams Award, and that is came about from the former mayor of Franklin Park, Jack Williams himself, who really spent a lot of his energy and time doing intergovernmental work amongst all of the municipalities, the West Central municipalities. And so they award those recipients who display intergovernmental cooperation between municipalities. And Eric has been considered the guy that has been doing that for us here in West Central, in the West Central area. So congratulations to Eric Palm. Very good. And then the last that I only have, I think Katie didn't mention this. Katie and I went to visit Oak Park launch. Mm. It was really great. It was at the Unity Temple. If you haven't seen this, I'll pass it around. It's really a cool brochure. But basically, they relaunched their website. They relaunched the brochures, and it's kind of a hip, neat, kind of cool website that focuses on, even though it says Visit Oak Park, and there's a lot of reasons why it's Visit Oak Park, but it does represent all of the West suburban towns, like, you know, Cicero, Berwyn, Elmwood Park, us, Forest Park, Maywood, Bellwood, and so on. So it's a really great resource if someone's looking to buy a home, if somebody wants to go for dinner, enjoy it, the architectural beauties of Oak Park and River Forest. In fact, Jan, I'm looking at you because one of the things the executive director, Eric Wagner, said about the relaunch of Oak Park, Visit Oak Park, was when they did their study and their data, was that the biggest thing that people want to see is the Frank Lloyd Wright architectural tours. That's really what's driving a lot of this tourism in our area. So not only does River Forest and Oak Park, but Maywood have some phenomenal, beautiful homes. So really cool. Need some work, need some content, and I think we'll, the staff will be working with Visit Oak Park and getting some additional content in it. But it's a great start. So kudos to Eric Warner and his team. I think that's all I have. I think everyone else kind of, huh?
I said Wagner. Maybe it's where you got Jack Wagner.
That's Eric Wagner, right?
Wagner, you said Warner.
No, I said Wagner. Yeah. Didn't I say Wagner? Thanks.
You said Warner.
Did I say Warner? Oh, I meant Wagner. Oh, well, whatever. Wagner. All right. Well, that's all I have. So I am looking at my calendar and can't see anything more. So with that, any other comments? Then we'll move to the consent agenda. If I can have a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through L.
Actually, I'd like to pull one item out.
Yeah, okay.
I'd like to pull out 7E, the award and bid of contract for the Green Alley improvements to MQ Construction.
All right.
And I do have a question about the firefighters group, but I don't need to pull it out. Right? Okay.
Well,
I guess
we'll find out what the
question
is.
It's
It's just a clarification. All right, so then if I can get a trustee to approve consent agenda A through D and F through L.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda item A through D and F through L.
Okay.
Second.
Second, very good. Okay, any questions, comments regarding, you've got a question on the
On the grievance process, I didn't have the opportunity to look at the old one. I know that there was an issue about the grievance process. Is the role of the police and fire board going to stay the same under this contract as it was under the old contract?
Yes. Right, but we are going in now to the next round of negotiations because the contract expired April 30th of this year. So
back pay, couldn't find the agreement. Is it back pay?
Yes. Yes.
They will have
received the same raises that the police and non-union employees would have received. Public Works took lower cost of living increases during that time for higher insurance premiums. Yes, we've been booking the liability all along. So when we budget, we're budgeting those increases. Yeah.
Okay. Hearing no other discussions or questions, go ahead, Sarah, if we can take the vote. Huh? Oh, we need to read it too. Absolutely. I didn't say that either. Yes, please read it.
A, regular village board meeting minutes, May 28, 2019. B, executive session village board meeting minutes, May 28, 2019. C, approval of collective bargaining agreement with IAFF number 2391 firefighter paramedics for May 1, 2016 through April 30, 2019. Approval of collective bargaining agreement with IAFF number 2391 lieutenants for May 1, 2016 through April 30, 2019. F, award of bid and contract for Thomas Street Alley Improvements to MYS Inc. for $274,511.55. G, amend section 9-3-20 of the Village Code for an ADA parking space on Linden between Gale and Thatcher ordinance. H, monthly department reports. I, monthly performance measurement report. J, financial report, May 2019. K, accounts payable, May 2019. $2,074,225.84. L, Village Administrator's Report.
Very good. Now, please take a vote.
Okay. Trustee Bachner.
Aye.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay, can I get a motion then to approve? So your ordinance, it got approved. So they're going to be working on it.
I'll move to,
No, go ahead.
Move to award a bid and contract for Green Alley improvements to MK Construction for the amount of $686,295.
Second.
Okay. Questions?
Yes. So just this week, I got a notice from the Midwest Water Reclamation District that they are accepting project applications for partnership funding opportunities to install green infrastructure throughout Cook County, to reduce wet weather flows, to combine water sewer systems, reduce combined sewer overflows to local waterways, and reduce runoff volumes and improve water quality. So this looks like the perfect project for this, you know, based on what I've looked at. I want to know if we are applying for that, for this.
Yeah, the answer for this particular, let me go back a second. We've previously been recipient of that grant. That doesn't exclude us from trying again, so we can. It would be prospective, though, for another alley project. So essentially, we wouldn't be able to use it for that alley, but we'd be able to go on a going-forward basis, do it for a different alley.
And why wouldn't we? Is it because we're already too far in the process?
Correct. Right.
Got
so
it.
We've already designed it. Bids have been let. We're approving the bids tonight. That would just hold things up in order to wait to go through the county's process.
Yeah. The deadline to apply is August 9th.
Right. But they'll take time, and then you have to do an intergovernmental agreement.
You may not get it.
And you may not get it.
Right.
But, no, when those opportunities come forward, we have enough alleys in the pipeline that every alley we're doing right now is green. So we would just apply for another grant.
So we will apply for the
yes.
next one. Okay. And
yep.
is there a process that the village goes through to sort of survey what's out there as our projects like this are coming up so that we're always applying for what's
grants.
Available?
Yeah. No, we've two things. As things like this come forward, they usually we have engineering firms that send us a lot of emails with these offers because they obviously want the work. So that's usually the first tell. We have been working with the IML and looking for grant opportunities as well. They've created a database that we periodically look at, but usually these are the high profile ones that with the MWRD and sometimes the state that have the resources that they're actually setting aside. So
okay if you could Sarah, read it out loud and then we could take the vote. Sarah.
Item E, 5E, award bid and contract for Green Alley improvements to MQ Construction for $686,295.
Okay, thank you.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay. So we have item 6A. This is a consent item for separate consideration. If I can get a trustee to move and second it, but not Trustee Vasquez.
So move.
Okay. Second it. No,
did you just move?
No. You
second.
Moved. Who
second.
Seconded? You seconded?
Oh, no, you moved. She seconded it. Right?
Who moved?
Oh, I thought Katie moved.
Katie moved.
I did.
Second.
Yes, and
okay.
then Patty second.
Okie dokie. So, if we can read that out loud.
And before you do, I'm going to recuse myself because my law firm represents School District 90 and School District 200, and it involves funds as well.
Okay.
Item 6A, May 2019 accounts payables transactions for the Economic Development Fund totaling $165,080.14 and the Madison Street TIF Fund totaling $572.47. Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes. Okay. So next up is the 7A, which is the Zoning Board of Appeals variation request for side yard setback at 910 Forest. If I can get a trustee to please move the motion and a second.
I move to approve an ordinance granting the request of variation to section 1097 of the zoning ordinance at 910 Forest Avenue.
Okay. Your second?
Second.
Okay. All right. Any questions on this? I guess this was approved by the DRB.
Yep.
ZBA, not the DRB. So, any questions? Comments?
Mm-mm.
Anything you learned from village attorney's training class that you want to apply here?
It's all streamlined.
It's all streamlined. Okay. Then if I can ask Sarah, please take the vote.
Greg, were you going to say something?
Well, I just wanted to note that as the ordinance and the packet reflects that since the amended comprehensive plan has been approved, yeah. we're in a six-month period where all variations require an affirmative vote of at least five of the seven elected officials. So I just wanted to remind the board about that before the vote was taken.
Thank you.
And that applies to both variations on the agenda tonight.
You must
thank
have told
you.
Me that 3,000 times. Yes. Okay.
Ready?
3,001. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cardew.
Yes.
Yes, he didn't need me. So, okay, let's move on to 7B. This is the variation for the fence height at 910 Park. Mike, do you want to say anything, or do you?
I'm asking you to answer questions, basically.
Okay. Well, you don't have to say anything. So let's go through the process, and if any one of these esteemed trustees have a question, they'll ask you. So if I can get a motion and a second to move this 7B.
I move to approve the ordinance granting the requested variations to section 483C and 484C2 of the zoning ordinance at 910 Park Avenue.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Okay, any questions that?
More comment. I was shocked to learn that deer can jump 8 feet. Okay. I actually did Google it. I found a couple of sites that said that. I was marveling at that.
Yeah. Okay, any further questions? Hearing none, you don't have to speak, Mike. I think this is going to be a slam dunk. Go ahead.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay. So. You guys are all approved. All right, so we're moving on to C, which is taken off because Dr. Gina is not here, right?
Right. She requested this be moved to July 22nd.
So we will have it to July. Okay, the next up is the boards and commission appointments and reappointments by me. Let's see. What is the best way to do this? I think... should I get a motion in a second and then go through the names? Or
So you have two options. Yeah. One is to go name by name. The other is to, if there is, unless any of the trustees have an issue, to get a single motion like you would on a consent agenda,
right.
and then just have it read by the deputy clerk before the vote is taken.
Okay. Okay, so let's do that unless somebody has a change. I have one minor issue. The number two, Mike, the reappointment of Mike Trucco, it would only be member because they pick their own chair. So we need to modify that. So other than that, I'd like to ask for a motion and a second for 7D, 1 through 10.
19.
1 through 19.
And the motion would be to give advice and consent to the village president's appointments.
Right. That's the motion.
I move that we give advice and consent to the village appointments listed at 7D, 1 through 19, as amended for number 2, removing the chairmanship.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. Why did you go about that?
Okay.
I have a question. Why is the fire pension board 3 years and police board 2?
Just the way that the state laws are set up. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sarah, maybe you can run through the names, do you mind? Thank you.
Number 1, Economic Development Commission appoint Carr Preston to the O'Connell vacancy, remaining term expiring April 30th, 2020. 2, Board of Fire and Police Commissioners reappoint Michael Trucco, member, 3-year term expiring April 30th, 2022. 3, Development Review Board reappoint Frank Martin, member and chair, 2-year terms expiring April 30th, 2021. 4, Development Review Board reappoint Jerry Dombrowski, 2-year term expiring April 30th, 2021. Development Review Board reappoint Carolyn Kilbride, 2-year term expiring April 30th, 2021. 6, Fire Pension Board reappoint Sean Condon, 3-year term expiring April 30th, 2022. 7, Police Pension Board reappoint Heath Bray, 2-year term expiring April 30th, 2021. 8, Police Pension Board reappoint Rosemary McAdams, 2-year term expiring April 30th, 2021. 9, Historic Preservation Commission reappoint David Reno Ogden, 4-year term expiring April 30th, 2023. Historic Preservation Commission reappoint Owen Dowling, four-year term expiring April 30th, 2023, 11. HPC, reappoint David Franek, member and chair, four-year terms expiring April 30th, 2023, 12. HPC, appoint John Forehand to the Popowitz vacancy, four-year term expiring April 30th, 2023, 13. Local Ethics Commission, reappoint Greg Ignofo, two-year term expiring April 30th, 2021, 14. Plan Commission, reappoint Marianne Fishman, four-year term expiring April 30th, 2023. 15. Plan Commission, reappoint Carolyn Kilbride, four-year term expiring April 30th, 2023. 16. Sustainability Commission, reappoint Shannon Roberts, four-year term expiring April 30th, 2023. Sustainability Commission, reappoint Andrew Basney, four-year term expiring April 30th, 2023. 18, Sustainability Commission, reappoint Beth Chang, four-year term expiring April 30th, 2023. And 19, Sustainability Commission, appoint Susan Charette to the Brennan vacancy, remaining term expiring April 30th, 2021.
A lot of work. And I called every single person, so talked to every single person, so it was quite busy week for me. All right, so any further questions or comments for these appointments? Hearing none, I'd ask Sarah to please take the vote.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Okay. We have no unfinished business, and so it moves on to our new business. In the first.
With regard to matter 9A, I would move to move that to after the executive session.
Okay. Yeah, in order to take the items out of order, then this motion would have to pass by a majority of those present. A majority of those present would have to vote in favor of that motion in order for that to occur.
Point of procedure, can Rez vote on the issue?
No, he can't because of his common law conflict of interest. So four votes are still needed, though.
Can I vote on this procedure issue?
No.
No.
Okay, so let's take the vote.
Can you vote? Just do it that way. So we do have to do a cabinet
roll call. No, just go down, do the roll call.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennig?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move that after executive session.
Yes.
Okay, let's go on to real estate purchase for sale agreement of 418 Franklin.
I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance for the real estate purchase and sales agreement for 418 Franklin River Forest.
Second.
Okay. Comments? Questions?
I noticed in the contract that we're paying all the closing costs, even like the seller's title policy. Is that what we normally do? Because in normal practice, normally the seller is the one who actually pays for their title policy.
Correct. That is not normally what is done. It's part of the negotiations. As you may recall, the list price was around $625. And so we decided to stay as close to our appraised value as possible. In order to close the deal, we agreed to their terms for deed restriction and then offered to pay the even their share of the closing costs with the exception of the property taxes in order to bring the deal home.
Did ballpark, what the closing costs will be for the?
The buyer's title insurance policy will be approximately $2,500.
Then the survey is about $500?
Ballpark, yes.
Any more questions? All righty, let's take a vote. Let's get it done.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, can I get a motion on 9C?
I move to approve the resolution authorizing a compliance and settlement agreement for 516 Park.
Second.
Okay. Questions? Comments?
I just have a question in terms of how we want to earmark the money, perhaps.
It's in the packet.
Yeah. Yep. Read it.
No, I got that. Okay. I get that's the plan. My question is, are we confident enough in terms of actually collecting the money? And what is the timing that we're telling these potential recipients that they're going to get it or not get it if we don't get, you know,
sure,
what I'm saying?
Well, they would only we would only issue the grants if we received the funds, and so I have not made any.
So we're not notifying anybody until.
I haven't told anyone.
Well,
anything.
I mean, it's in our
yeah.
packet.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's public information.
Public information,
right.
But there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
Right.
But so there's no. I guess it's the answer.
I think the grant idea was a great one when I read it, but the thought that occurred to me is we're obviously getting our attorney's fees back, but there's a lot of staff time devoted to this too. Is the $30,000 that we're keeping covering? I know they're sort of some cost, but
my time is priceless.
I know.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, it is. What we do is a sunk cost. So our, you know, outbound dollars that we had to pay out and paid for the village attorney's time, that will get recouped, and us, you know, we work until the job gets done. So I don't really look at it. I know what you're saying, but I don't look at it.
I think the charge is great, but if it costs us $150,000 to bring this thing done, and we're only keeping, that's the issue that I have.
Right.
So it's $50,000 in attorney's fees, and then
$30,000. So after the $20,000,
hard
grants,
to quantify the staff time.
Well, I would say not. I mean, but anyway, that was the question I had.
Yeah, I don't track my hours, so I couldn't give you an idea of my time or Lisa's time. Mm-hmm. That was maybe Cliff a little bit, but it was primarily Lisa and I that worked on this.
I saw that we have the right of inspection, which I thought was a great provision to have in there, but I guess we can't disclose what the plan is, but I mean, obviously I think we need to keep fairly close eyes on this property.
I would agree.
Okay.
Does that run with just his ownership, or does it run with subsequent owners? Because I could see somebody going in there and saying, hey, at one point in time, this was a two flat, and I could do this all over again.
Well, the term of the agreement is through December 31st of 2021, so it has a limited term, and as I recall, it was set up to, yes, it applies to successors and interests through the term of the agreement, so the property is reconveyed in the meantime. It runs with title. Also, as part of the prior to the litigation, after the fire occurred on the property, the zoning administrator, Eric, rendered an opinion that was never appealed from, that the property could not be reestablished as a two flat. So unless some zoning process were to ensue where this village board agreed to allow them to do it, they can't seek judicial review of that determination because they have 35 days to do so. They didn't. So it has to be a single family home.
I have another question for you, Greg. If he defaults on this contractual obligation, does the village have an opportunity to put a lien on the property?
Only if it's reduced to a judgment, we would. We don't have lien rights arising out of the contract itself, but one of the provisions in the agreement at the bottom of page 3 says that for each breach, the owners are jointly and severally liable for $1,000 for each breach to the village as liquidated damages. So we did build in an automatic a mechanism to allow us to seek compensation from them and reinstate the violations if they breach.
Yeah, but that's just more money that they owe that they wouldn't be paying. I want to get a lien on the property if he were tries to sell it.
We did not negotiate in lien language in this agreement. If they violate it, we'll get them back in court and we'll reduce it to a judgment, and then we'll have lien rights again.
Greg, also, in the order, I'm assuming in dismissing it, can you put in there that the court can retain jurisdiction to enforce this agreement?
Yes, of course. And the agreement will not be, rather, the case will not be dismissed until the payment is made.
Right.
So 45 days after execution is when the payment must be made. If it's not made, then we're going to trial in October.
Right.
We have an October trial date.
Correct.
If payment is made, we'll dismiss subject to the court retaining jurisdiction so we could file a motion for violation of the agreement.
Okay, so any further questions? Hearing none, let's take a roll.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennig?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachman?
Yes.
Okay, do you want
I just have, if you'll indulge me here for just for a minute, I just have a quick statement I want to make and put on the record. Tonight, the Village Board approved a settlement agreement with the owners of 516 Park Avenue. This agreement concludes over 2 years of activity in which the village spent considerable effort and resources to hold the property owner accountable for the creation and use of an illegal, unpermitted basement dwelling unit at that location. This dwelling unit was discovered after a fire took place that ultimately led to the tragic death of an individual, Mr. Alipio Flores, who was living in the unit. Fortunately, the other tenants were able to escape safely, and no other properties were damaged. Situations such as these are rare in River Forest, fortunately, and most code enforcement issues are typically resolved by a notification from the village to the property owner, which results in a voluntary compliance. In some cases, a modest fine or possibly a double permit fee is assessed to recoup village costs and ensure the parties are held accountable. In even rare but significant matters such as 516 Park, the village has pursued remedies above and beyond the typical handling of code enforcement matters. Examples include: at 1042 Lathrop, after the home was abandoned, the village ultimately received a judgment from the circuit court to allow for the demolition of a mold-infested home. The village ultimately recouped its cost in the matter, which was about $57,000. 203 Franklin, after the homeowners abandoned the home after a fire, the village went through the circuit court and received permission to demolish the home. Again, the village recouped its cost in this matter, which was about $62,000. 8241 Lake Street, after the homeowner abandoned the property, it was determined the property was structurally unsafe. The village asked for a judge for permission to raise the structure, and later the village filed a foreclosure action and was ultimately granted title to the property, with the property having an assessed value at the time the village was granted title of $297,000. 811 Forest, after the home was abandoned due to a foreclosure, the lower level of the home was flooded. As a result, significant mold and other property damage occurred. The village issued citations to the bank and then owning the property regarding their lack of compliance to village code and ultimately paid over $80,000 to the village. These examples are recited to show our commitment to two of our three main tenants at the village: ensuring we live in a safe community and protecting our property values. The matter at 516 Park was no different. Over the last 2 years, the village remained steadfast that either an appropriate settlement be reached or else the matter goes to trial in the Circuit Court of Cook County. In the end, the village believes that a fine of $100,000 sends a strong message that illegal dwelling units such as these at the one at 516 Park will not be tolerated in the village of River Forest.
Thank you. And Eric, let me first say how well you and the village attorney have conducted yourself. It's not been easy given the situation, so I applaud you and the village attorney for doing an exceptional job. Thank you. All right, so let's move on to D, update to the village public. I don't think there's a motion here, so just a discussion, or where are we going to change? Yep.
Don't we authorize the grants to...
oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, we didn't do that? I thought you took the...
Is that a separate?
Oh, sorry. We do need that. Thanks.
It's worse than that.
Right, yes. So if I can get a motion and a second on the...
I'll move to concur with the staff's recommendation and direct the village administrator under his purchasing spending authority to use a portion of the proceeds from the settlement as follows: $10,000 to be utilized for a senior snow removal program, $2,500 to Thrive, $2,500 to Sarah's Inn, $2,500 to OPRF for Infant Welfare Society, and $2,500 to the MA School Children's Aid.
Second.
Okay. Can you take the vote?
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we do need, on the next one, a motion to approve the revised zoning process for public notice. If I can get a motion and a second.
Motion to approve the revised zoning process public notices.
Second.
Okay. If I can just, first of all, I want to thank Lisa, who really did the lion's share of everything. And as usual, she was super organized. I showed up for her meeting. She had a nice folder with all samples, letters, all titled as they should, so we can discuss them easily. And then we kind of did a back and forth via email and phone to kind of tweak the letters. But just to give a little bit of background to those who weren't on the board, but this was something we discussed with our last board to try and update the notices, as Greg mentioned, that goes out during our ZBA and DRB process. Thank you, John. One helpful piece of information that I thought Lisa put together, which you may find helpful as well, is a summary of when the different notices go out, under what circumstances they're required, when they're required.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I just think it'd be helpful there. So basically, if you had a chance to go through the various letters, the intent was to provide, without getting too lengthy, which is always the challenge, enough information that residents, particularly those within 250 or 500 feet of whatever development or zoning variance a resident is requesting, that they have a better understanding of what's being proposed. If they have questions or concerns or want to bring something up, how do they go about doing that? And being clear that, as we talked about in our earlier meeting on our zoning process and hearing process, that in order to consider some of this information, it needs to go on an official record. And so for residents to understand, hey, my neighbor's doing whatever the case may be, and if they want to go on record with raising concerns or questions, they need to either come to the meeting or submit information in writing prior to certain time frame, which is all then listed in the letters. The other thing that was added to make it easier for residents is there's better contact information on which village staff to contact if there are questions on a particular topic, and then where specifically to find information. So if it's a DRB development project, that where they can be directed online to find information on that. If it's a ZBA, same thing. So as we talked about in our earlier meeting, that there are standards that we need to review. It would be helpful when residents come to speak with questions or concerns that they speak to why or why they don't think standards are met. And so for them to be able to access those much more easily than had been the case, thought that would have some benefits. So anyhow, this is what we put together for all the various circumstances of when letters would go out. As you know, we've already improved the letter, the envelope that goes out, so residents know that when they receive it, this is something I need to pay attention to, and then just further clarifying information with the letter itself. So if anybody had any questions or suggestions, additions, yeah, this can evolve as we know, yeah, you know, questions come up.
So what, this looks great, but what is there something new here that we, or did I miss it?
No, it's not new. It just consolidates okay. So it's a clear picture of when,
yeah,
people know when we need to send out these,
yeah,
various notices.
Super.
Great.
Okay.
Two things. Number one, on the notice, how much notice is going out? Is that 30 days out?
It varies depending 15. On what is happening and what stage of the process. Okay.
That seems a little confusing. So, I mean, shouldn't it be, I get the sign on the site, but I mean, if we're mailing things out to people, should there be a consistent amount of time that we give people on notices?
We can be. Some of it comes down to what's required, right, in terms of.
So, for public hearings, yeah, it's consistent across the board, no less than 15, no more than 30.
Right.
For village board meeting decisions, that may vary. So for a major variation, we send notice to the neighbors 7 days prior. I'm sorry, I will update this so it's on there. For special use, we send notice to the neighbors of the village board meeting, making decision 10 days before your meeting, and for plan development, 7 days before your meeting. We can certainly make the policy consistent across the board in terms of practice, but if we want to go and modify the code, then we do have to go to public hearing to amend the actual underlying requirements within our zoning ordinance.
Okay.
So we can do it as a matter of practice.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about the major things, not the minor things. You know, if somebody's gone or somebody's, you know, on a 2-week vacation and they come back, you know, they've kind of missed the boat. So I just, you know, I'm just a little bit concerned about that. So.
Yeah, the only comment I would say on that is the village board notice is is unique to River Forest. Most towns will just do,
yeah,
the statutory public hearing notice,
right,
for the ZBA or the,
right,
DRB, and then say it's going to be at an upcoming meeting, check the website. We send notice just again to the folks as a matter of courtesy and good customer, mm-hmm, service. You know, the challenge, of course, becomes that balance of trying to make sure the development projects move forward,
right,
in a timely fashion and not hold them up. So the village board one is more just kind of like a belt and suspenders, you know,
right,
type,
okay,
of approach.
And the other thing, too, I would mention, just in terms of how the meeting schedules tend to work, you know, we're trying to kind of move things along from the DRB or ZBA adopt findings of fact and need to get it in front of the board. So we can make whatever timeline the board chooses, but to speak to Eric's comment, if we extend that time period, then it may push it to a board meeting a little further down the road.
Right, good stuff, Patty. Thank you. So it was really nice, and I'm glad you.
One more question. I'm so sorry. I forgot if you said this in your comments. I apologize. But do these notices then get published online as well?
Yeah, they get published.
Like, do we post these somewhere so people can see all the notices that are?
I think everything.
Yeah, Lisa. Yeah. Yep.
We do. So if you were to go and look at the zoning meetings, the public hearing notice is always published as part of the ZBA packet for development review board projects. So for plan developments, if you were to go and look at, say, for instance, the Chicago and Harlem development project, you would see sort of the lineage of the whole project.
Okay.
And every public notice that has been sent out, there's links to it. Or, you know,
but for like public, for current notices that people could,
we tend to publish it in more than one place online. So for a plan development project, it will be on a project-specific page. Mm-hmm. It will also appear as part of the ERB packet. It will also appear as a news item. We'll put it on social media. So we really try and carry it through to make sure anywhere someone might think to go, it's there or it's linked so that you can find it.
Could we maybe add a tab just as public notices on the website?
There are.
One thing Lisa and I talked about, I had noticed some time ago, there didn't seem to be consistency when a meeting, either ZBA or historic preservation, if it's a public hearing, it didn't necessarily. So like recently there was a historic preservation and it said public hearing - historic preservation. So anybody looking through our meeting schedule knew, oh, here's a public hearing night. But then there were instances where there was a zoning board meeting that didn't start with public hearing, and so unless somebody took the extra step to look at whatever documents, and that's typically where I've seen the legal notices online available, they wouldn't necessarily know to take that extra step. It could just be a regular meeting. So we talked about keeping that consistent, and whenever it's a hearing, public hearing, have that before each meeting, like we've done in some cases, but not always in every case.
Okay.
Yep.
It's good to be consistent. So very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Patty. Appreciate your efforts on that. Okay, let's move to EE.
Nope, we need to take a vote.
Sorry. We've been talking about so much. Go ahead, sorry.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Karji.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So So let's move on to item E. If I can get a motion on item E.
I move that we amend section 8622 of the Village Code regarding underage possession of tobacco.
Okay, can I hear a second?
Second.
Awesome. Any questions, comments on this ordinance? It was fairly debated at the state level. Amen. And it's a good one. I think it also includes our loophole clause of making sure that kids that are 21 cannot possess, not only cannot buy tobacco, but they cannot possess.
I like the vaping inclusion as part of it too.
I think it's the right thing to do for So it's a good legislation. Any further comments? Not hearing any, I'd ask the Sarah to take the vote, please.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Karji.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay, good. And then the last on this item is discussion. It's a recap of the Illinois legislation session. So I guess the tag team of Eric Palm and Katie Brennan to give us the legislative update.
Yeah. So I'll just start and pass to Eric, who really did the work. So the Illinois General Assembly closed their session at the end of May, the beginning of June. There are two areas that affect the village. One's cannabis, and the other is the opportunity to enact a local motor fuel tax. In regards to the cannabis, the General Assembly passed legislation legalizing the recreational use of marijuana, and that legislation is awaiting the governor's signature. That legislation allows cannabis to be used in private residences, but municipalities can ban use within the village or within the municipality, including dispensaries, cultivation centers, craft growers, et cetera. So it's something to keep our eye on. It's something that we should be, I guess, talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just pop to the other one, and then, or do you guys want to talk about that one?
There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, the local.
We'll wait on that one.
Yeah, there's we've got time. But local motor fuel tax legislation was passed that would allow non-home rural communities such as River Forest in Cook County to adopt a local motor fuel tax of up to 3 cents per gallon within the Cook County limits. I guess Oak Park is at 6 cents a gallon.
Is there home rule?
Yeah. So this would be advantageous to River Forest because it could provide some more revenue for the village. And this legislation is also awaiting the governor's signature.
Thank you.
I think at least the latter is one we should pursue as best as we can. I mean, I've always been bothered by the arbitrage that the guy in Chicago and Harlem gets versus the guy in Chicago and Harlem. And I always thought it was unfortunate that the non-home rural communities couldn't impose their own gas taxes. So I commend the legislature for getting around to it sooner.
Governor signs it, we'll address it.
Greg's already working on it.
We would have had it tonight, but governor didn't sign it.
Yeah, okay. Two gas stations in River Forest.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And it will double. I mean, going to be significant for us.
Yeah, between that and then, the other, no one obviously likes to pay more in taxes, but the motor fuel tax being doubled from 19 to 38 cents, the village will then receive, in our monthly MFT receipts, we'll receive more money from the state on that as well. So that figure has the potential to double, and then that will go into local street resurfacing, maintenance, things like that. So another ancillary benefit.
Okay. That was only a discussion. So we'll, adjourn regular session. No, I'm going to make a statement. We're going to go into executive session, and we're going to talk about 9/11 Ashland. This is on you.
11
Ashland. And the acquisition of 11 Ashland. Unfortunately, when we go into executive session, we have to ask you to leave the room. But I ask you to please stay if you're interested in this issue. This is unusual because we normally don't do this, but we need to do this. So I ask you to stay. I want you to hear what we talk about. I think it's important. And so that's what we're going to do. So we're going to adjourn our regular session. We're going to go into executive session.
And when you say you ask them to stay, you mean wait until we're done with executive session, then come back in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait outside. Yes. So I'm sorry for that, but hopefully we can provide you some water if you want some. So that's what we're going to do. So please stay because it's an important topic. So if I can ask to adjourn into executive session.
Right? Motion to go into executive session to discuss the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the village, including whether a particular parcel should be acquired, the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the village, and litigation involving the village that is pending.
Okay. Second. Okay, good. But I want to make sure that we clarify the lease property. So what can we talk about in executive session on lease property?
That has to do with setting a price for the lease of real property owned by the village, determining what parameters the village might be willing to lease out property that it owns.
Okay. So it's about pricing, not about leasing.
Well, inherent in the question of should we lease something is what kind of economic benefits would the village derive. So price would include what economic value would the village receive in exchange for allowing someone to occupy the property.
So if we don't have that information, how much can we talk about lease?
It's enough to help inform the discussion as to whether or not it's appropriate to lease it. How much revenue would you need to obtain in order to consider leasing a particular property? The conversation has to be anchored around those facts.
Very good. Okay. All right.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Okay, so let's go into regular session. Roll call.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee Cargi?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez? Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Hennick?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
President Adesa?
I am here. And thank you for returning. We're going to go ahead and get a motion to approve the real estate item 9A. If I can get a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion to approve an ordinance for a real estate purchase and sale agreement for 11 Ashland River Forest, Illinois.
That's not an ordinance, is it?
Yes.
It's an ordinance, yes.
Second.
Thank you, Erica. All right, so any further discussion on this? Hearing none, I'd ask Sarah to please take the vote.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yeah.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
All right, so that, I think, ends our regular session.
One quick item. We do need to have that special meeting to approve the lease back.
Yes, and that's July.
And so we were looking at some dates. I just want to, as long as I got everyone here, and I need four people.
Can I do it over the phone?
If you're on for business purposes, yep.
Yeah.
Four have to be physically present. If you're a fifth or sixth member, you can attend by phone.
How about the morning of, Erica, you come back on what day? I know you're out of town.
I forgot what day I told you guys. I'm so sorry.
You said the 10th.
Okay.
The 10th.
Sarah's email was the 8th.
Yeah, so how about the 10th with the morning of the 10th?
Oh, shoot. Now he's trying to, okay.
There you go. This is how it works.
How's your calendar work?
So who's here on the 8th?
I'm not. I think I told you.
We don't have a quorum.
We don't have a quorum for the 8th.
I can do the 9th.
The 9th or the 10th?
That works for me.
I don't know about the 10th.
Either one. I'm in California, but in the car, so this one.
Okay.
And it's business, so you can call in, but we still need four present.
We need a physical majority or quorum present.
So nobody's, let me go back. I'm so confused. Nobody's available on the 8th.
Bad for you?
Is that Sarah?
The 10th would be better.
We do not have a quorum on the 8th.
Better for you. Better than the 9th.
Okay. We don't have, how many for the 9th? 1, 2, 3, 4. So 1, 2.
No,
four.
No.
I know, you're not 4, so
you're
3.
Not
you're
physical.
Not here then. And you're not here, Patty.
What time?
And we can do morning.
What time is good for you?
Evening, whatever.
8?
On the
9th,
Eric.
What time do you want to do it?
The closing's going to be that
what's,
day.
What's
so
the,
I gotta be early.
The
yeah.
least worst time?
I was going to say, I prefer after 10, anytime after 10.
Okay, so why don't we do, are you, everyone okay at 10:30? Okay.
I'll make it work on the 9th, whatever time you guys pick.
Okay, so is that okay for you in California time?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we do 10:30, I bet that Dan.
Tom, you are available on the 9th?
But I think it's going to be good. So 10:30? And Tom, are you good on 10:30?
10:30.
All right, so that gives us
all right, so 10. So confirming 10:30 in the morning on July, Tuesday, July 9th.
Yep.
I've got 9 people, or 4 people.
No, you got 5 people.
Item 9.
Wow. I got 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Erica's out of town. Bob will call her.
He's the 5th, the caller inner. Okay. 10:30.
So I have to show. Okay.
Yes.
No, you got Patty.
Patty, right. So Patty, Katie, right.
Still a long
Kathy,
night.
Tom.
Right. Erica is gone.
Gotcha.
And Bob is in California.
Gotcha.
I'm
all
sending
right.
out a meeting notice on this. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, please. All right, what else? Any other days that we have to work on?
No.
Okay.
I will move to
all right, thank you. Can I hear
second?
Okay, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hearing any ayes? Nope. We are adjourned.